Podcasters, it's the guy that presses the buttons. It's Leno here, and today we're talking wedding traditions. Why do we cut the cake? Why does the bride wear a veil? We've got the answers for all of those, and everybody has dreamed about winning the lottery. We have a numbers specialist to tell you exactly what your chances are to win, or rather, what your chances are to lose.
Tell me if this is your kind of thing. Maybe a little bit of sexy music or something here, Leno, to fire it off. But a couple who started pashing in a Nando's restaurant shocked the other diners when they decided to wander in the bathroom to close the deal, says.
Don't get me wrong. I love Nando's. Yeah. Don't get me wrong.
If you're tucking into a peri-peri burger...
I can get really waiting for my chicken to come out, Sarah.
So true. Yeah, but I don't know... sauce breath.
I don't know if there's a moment where you get through your meal and I look at BJ and go, wouldn't mind finishing this off.
You never know. That topic of dessert comes up straight after a main meal, and that's possibly what they were thinking. So those chips are great at Nando's too.
Can I get just one thing clear? Did they take the finished meal with them into the toilet just to, fire them up?
No, it wasn't
the actual Nando's.
I like to wipe grease from the packet all over your body.
Good idea, Sarah.
That's not bad. Do you reckon they used a bit of the meal? Is that what you're suggesting?
Don't know, maybe.
Haven't thought about that.
Maybe rub a bit of that chicken carcass onto my chest.
Oh. Nothing turns me on. Nothing.
Was that you, Sarah?
No, that was...
Who did that?
Now, for the record, that was not me. That is something I would have done, but that was not me.
Sarah! Because as I was picturing a chicken all over Fitzy's chest, all I heard was you sounding like a bulldog eating custard.
What was that?
I thought we were doing...
Oh, my God.
I thought we were supposed to get into the break,
Where was the last place you and Gary went out for dinner?
Gosh, as soon as I brought up the words chicken and carcass, Sarah turned into another woman.
I do love a barbecue chook.
I mean, we saw that story the other day of the couple on the plane.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the plane is more of a challenge, but I think the restaurant... Mm. I mean, there was a mate of mine who got it in a Mexican restaurant. It was like Taco Bell or whatever it was called.
Taco Bell?
Was it Taco Bell? Is that what it was called?
Was he a fan of the Mexican people or was he...
No.
Is that what got him excited?
No, he met a girl. They'd been like a daytime event, the races.
Oh, yeah.
And then went to Taco Bell.
Wow.
Had their lunch
and then she wanted an extra burrito.
And then went into the bathrooms and said, if I could just get that sound.
Yeah, I'll take an enchilada.
And then they went into the bathroom, Sarah, and then...
Oh, Sarah.
What a pity.
Sarah, don't do it.
I mean, I'm ashamed of myself right now. With a cold on me, I can't leave a man
Sarah
hanging.
Sarah will be doing sound effects to all our stories till 9 o'clock today.
How did that come about so fast?
Now you've got that as... Is that a grab now? Sarah.
Is that me saying turns me on in the background?
Let's talk about... Can we please talk about sport at the moment? I know Sydney Swans had their best and fairest last night, and obviously there's a few teams getting knocked out in the finals in the NRL at the moment as well.
Yeah, great night.
Yeah,
Leno, you
went along, didn't you? Had a great night. Well done to Dane Rampey. He took it out last night. The finals continues at the moment. Toby Green was rubbed out for a week, Sarah, for GWS. Mm. That was a joke. But I want to talk about the NRL at the moment because the Brisbane Broncos are in a bit of trouble. Obviously, they were in trouble over the weekend because they lost 58-0 to Parramatta. A few of their players were seen out the night before the game playing the pokies at about 11 o'clock at night.
Is it the wrong thing to do? I mean, I know you stay off the gas
before a game. Yeah, you're not drinking.
But
is
if
it
you're
the
just.
Same?
Well, it's not a good preparation at all.
If you're just slotting coins.
What if they were sitting at home playing video games?
Yeah, is there a difference?
Well, that's fine. At least you're relaxing, Sarah.
But people find the pokies relaxing. That's why they're so dangerous, because you do just relax and keep hitting the button.
It's not a good look at all. They went to Harpoon Harry's, first of all.
Yeah, not a bad spot.
So they're at Harpoon Harry's, and a pub patron sat next to Anthony Milford, who was one of the Broncos. There's six of them there playing the pokies. This is about 11 o'clock at night. Mm. And the bloke knew that the game started at 4 p.m. the next day, and he said to Milford, what time's your game tomorrow? And Milford turned around and said, I think it's at 6 o'clock, eh?
Oh, God.
Okay, sure.
He didn't even know.
Well, he was focused on getting seven pyramids or whatever he was spinning up at the time.
Exactly right.
Did he have a win? Do they go on to say it was a successful night?
No, I don't think they did. Matt Gillett, Payne Haas, David Fifita, Corey Oates. These are some really good players. See, I mean, if they came out and won the next day, everything would have been fine, but they got absolutely pumped by 58 points.
Not great.
Well, that teaches you, doesn't it?
Darren Lockyer and Wally Lewis were disgusted. They're saying that the club's culture has deteriorated. The current crop of senior players don't know what they're doing.
Yeah, okay.
It's a bit of a mess.
Yeah, well, so, Keno is the better option.
Well, it's so good that we're in New South Wales and they're up in Queensland, you know what I mean? And we can get stuck into them as much as we can.
Yep.
This is the thing, though. Like, I had a bit of an idea beforehand, because so there's a few people that are shocked by this. Why would you play pokies and prepare for a game the night before like that? But I picked up something quite a while ago with the Brisbane Broncos and gambling on the pokies.
Yeah, sure.
It's their club song.
What do you mean?
Well, if you listen to it closely, I think there is a bit of a pokies theme behind it.
We're the Broncos, the mighty Broncos, and we play hard to get free spins. Carry and Harpoon Harry's will drop 1,000 next day, get pounded. We're the pride of retired Queensland.
Now, I don't know if you can pick up anything there.
I don't know. It
but
seems
if that's
like
the song they sing after they have a win.
It's a couple of gambling
tones. I reckon
tones
they don't mind the pokies.
It's hard to say.
Bit of KG bird. I don't know if you've noticed, but The Masked Singer is on Monday night on Channel 10. There's been a couple of promos going around at the moment.
There are a couple. I can't wait to see the show. I reckon it's going to be awesome. Second to that, what are they doing with the outfits once they're finished? Because you like a wig, mate. You're not afraid of a dress-up. And that wolf that we keep seeing on the TV, great get-up. Really good kit.
It's not bad. It's not bad.
Perfect for the Christmas party. If I could turn up, no one would know who it was.
Lindsay Lohan's still in Sydney at the moment, Sarah, or have they finished filming?
I think they've finished, but I can't be sure. But she hasn't been seen anywhere.
She hasn't been seen at all, not since the hair washing on a boat.
No, it really wasn't seen, wasn't she, during filming at all around town.
Tommy, what was the latest from Channel 10 to get Lindsay Lohan on the show?
Oh, look, we've supported the show a lot. We're still hoping for an interview to come through this week, guys.
I'm fascinated by her. I'd love to have a chat to her. Tommy, I mean, she's had a pretty full-on life.
Yeah, a lot of things have happened.
Rollercoaster. Bit of a rollercoaster.
Since the Parent Trap.
Have you tried to get her in for hide and sing? Because she would understand how the game's played, because it's the exact same concept.
She would understand that. I haven't tried specifically for hide and sing. I thought if we get her, we should scream her from the rooftops, not hide her in a booth.
That's true.
Can we go through her songs? Have you got Rumours there? This is a hit song, Rumours.
So many Rumours.
Great song. We also got, this is her latest song, Xanax, that she recorded.
We could hit it off.
She's her voice is falling
off. If you just let me pop.
Yeah, she's terrible.
A Xanax. A Xanax.
Wow.
You're not great either.
Terrible. Well, remember when she was
so many.
Remember when she was seeing that Arabian Prince, and there was a bit of an altercation on the beach where a phone was thrown, and
that was a Russian billionaire, wasn't it? Yeah, and he was a bit violent with her.
I think he tackled her, and there was.
No, I thought that was a Mexican janitor, wasn't it?
We don't know.
She's not dating a Mexican janitor.
I'm pretty sure
at some stage there was.
No, there wasn't.
Yeah, Rodriguez. Remember him?
Sure.
Remember him?
Was a Fijian waiter.
Okay,
I'm pretty sure that was. Anyway,
we don't know that a mask on.
So we
she had to guess who the boyfriend was.
We couldn't get an interview with her, but Ange Bishop did for Studio 10. And I love this. Had no idea that Lindsay Lohan was a big Neighbours fan.
Yeah, okay.
And she would love to go on the show.
Would you ever be in Neighbours if they asked you?
Yeah, I would love to, because it's a show that I've watched for a long time, especially when I was in London. It was always on my TV.
Well, if we could totes get you on set.
Would I have to, an Australian accent, would I use, or would I use?
You could be whatever you like. Dream up the character. Who would you play?
Maybe I could come in and, like, be a therapist.
Therapist. I love it.
Because they always are talking about each other too much.
Sit that, just that laugh.
Yeah.
Therapist.
Yeah,
she's
Larry Lungbuster. Not afraid of a pack a day.
Okay.
She'd be a great therapist on Neighbours. If you could imagine Dr. Carl coming in going, I know I'm the doctor, but I need help. Come in.
Come in. Grab a seat. What's wrong? What's wrong, Dr. Carl? Tell us your issues.
Well, you think you've got issues.
Why look at me?
That M5 crash over the weekend that spoke about over the last couple of days.
It turned into the carjacking.
Far out.
Hasn't stopped, has it?
So the Range Rover was driven by a young lady called Jana, was her name, Sarah, and then she had this car just absolutely ram her so hard from behind that she got airborne and the car flipped over.
That's scary.
And then they had a young fella by the name of Daniel. Now, Daniel pulled over his brand new Mazda.
Yep.
And he was going to help out. The guys that rear-ended the Range Rover got out of the car, five of them, with a knife and said to Daniel, give me your car. So he obviously stood there, God, said, you can take it, and they drove off. One of them has been arrested, but the vision was just unbelievable. Mm. In the tunnel, you got to see the whole thing. Daniel spoke about it yesterday. He was pretty shook up.
You will never think that will happen, like, in your life. Like, someone's going to pull out a knife and just steal your car if you're coming to help. It's putrid. It's a putrid act.
Daniel's car was found on Sunday, burnt out beside a road at Oxley Park.
So he's
that's upsetting.
Damn, his Daniel. New Mazda was burnt out, completely written off. This is what got me down. I got a bit upset when I heard this.
I bought it 3 days prior, so I didn't have time to actually insure it.
Oh, no.
I was actually going to put insurance on it on Monday.
That's a stinker.
Stolen car, car burnt, no insurance. Bad day, Daniel.
What are the odds?
Insurance disasters, 13, 24, 10. Give us a call.
Do you know where these sorts of stories lead to? The old GoFundMe page. I mean, Daniel's tried to do the great thing.
Yeah.
Like, there should be a Citizens of Sydney.
A Good Samaritan Act.
No, yeah, well, good. Yeah. That's what we need, Sayers, because he's tried to help out.
Well, Jenna has. Jen has. She started up a fundraising page. Can we find out, Tommy? Daniel Karim is his name. Can we find out how it's going?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, let's go around the room. How much do we want to put in?
I'll put in a few a few hundred bucks for him, because that's horrible.
Yep.
Young fella's got a brand new car.
I've got a couple of dollars as well, Sayers. How much are you putting?
Just a couple of dollars.
Well, as a team, we'll all put it in, so we won't know individual amounts, but Fitzy started with a couple of hundred, so this is looking good at this stage. Tommy, you in, mate? How much are you in for?
Well, their goal is $10,000.
Wow. What is it up to, Tommy?
$2,880.
Well, that's not bad. Right. It's a good start.
Might get you back on the road.
What do we need to go to, Tommy, to help him out?
Yeah, so it's on the GoFundMe page, and if you just search Daniel the Good Samaritan, it should come up. Yeah.
Says, what car do you drive?
I drive a Mazda. Oh, there
you
go. Pain.
You could donate the car.
I mean,
we've got a brand new
Mazda.
Car for you.
No, we don't have a brand new car.
From Sarah.
It's fairly old.
We had a guy that we grew up with, Wardy, was just addicted to fishing. Loved fishing. Yep. Always wanted a fishing boat. Sarah finally got one, and the thing that you do with a boat, as soon as you get one, how often do you use it? So he was saying to us, boys, we've got to go out for a fishing trip. I'll take you out. 6 months later.
Okay.
Still haven't been out on the boat. So he had just moored there for 6 months. Finally, we all got together to go out on a fishing trip, Sarah.
Yeah.
We get out there. Engine starts up. It sounded a bit dodgy. We got out about a kilometre out. We're doing a bit of fishing. And then all of a sudden, the engine started splurting, coughing up, and then caught fire.
Okay.
We had to get someone else to come and rescue
us. Boats are great, aren't they?
This was the thing. When we got back in, Wardy said to us, God, I've had it for 6 months. I haven't insured it. I was going to do it when we got
back. Always going to, mate.
stupid.
Well, this is the thing.
Mm-hmm. Come on.
First... Did you ever go fishing with Wardy again?
No. That was the final time. Well, you got to have a crack, don't you? Tomorrow night, Powerball.
Woo!
Staggering $150 million up for grabs.
Is that biggest ever? It's got to be biggest ever.
Have you bought a ticket?
No,
I feel like these things
stage.
Happen and has anyone in this room got a ticket?
No, well, we've got to get onto that, don't we?
Leno's nodding. So you're 1 in 5.
I got it last week I won on last week Powerball $20.
That's right.
And immediately put it into.
But are we doing a deal? Like, if I buy one and I win, do I share it with the whole team?
Yes.
Oh, that'd be nice.
I will definitely share my winnings.
No,
can we
wouldn't.
Dump that, Leno?
Okay.
Well, this is the thing. We need to talk to someone. What are our odds of winning? What's the probability? We need our mathematical mastermind, a good friend of the show, Adam Spencer. Welcome.
Spence, welcome, buddy.
Oh, how are we then? 7 times 6 times 5 divided by. Pouring out. I get almost sick.
Spence, have you bought a ticket, mate?
I don't want to ruin everyone's fun. No, I haven't. Okay. I don't really get into the Powerball stuff at all because, as opposed to most people, I have a small understanding of the odds of actually winning.
Well, that's the game, isn't it? So what are we talking about? I mean, from a mathematical point of view, when you break these numbers down, Spence, what do you see?
Okay, so you've got to pick. But in the Powerball, first of all, there's 35 numbers bouncing around. You've got to get 7 of them.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
If you get all 7, and that's about a 1 in 7 million chance.
You've then
got to pick 1 out of 20 of the Powerball to jack it up. So to win the whole thing, it's about 1 in 134.5 million.
So you're telling me there's a chance?
Just say in the entire state of Victoria.
Mm. Yep.
I'm thinking of an individual person in Victoria.
Mm.
You have to guess them and then you have to tell me the AFL team they support.
If you can guess
Sarah from Ballarat, yep. And she's a Gold Coast Suns supporter. Congratulations. Sorry she supports Collingwood.
Oh, damn.
Oh, so you close. Just missed out. So close.
You get a third division.
I got Sarah and Ballarat right, but I just didn't get the Gold Coast Suns right.
My old mate Dr. Carl used to say, the odds for these sort of things, if you live far enough from the news agency, you're more likely to be struck by lightning walking to buy the ticket than to win the jackpot.
How much does it jack up when the jackpot keeps going up as well? This is the thing now, Spence. Everyone's talking about it. You would think extra people buy it, so the odds will blow out even more.
Well, that's the thing. Yeah. More people buy, so eventually it will go off. And Everyone hears anything. Therefore, someone has to win. So, yeah, strictly one person does have to win. But For the hundreds of millions of tickets that are purchased, statistically, every other one of those tickets will lose.
Right. Can we bring the odds down somehow, Spence? Do we buy more numbers or do we buy more tickets? What do we do?
You can't influence the numbers that are going to be picked. All you can hope is that if your numbers come out, You're not sharing it with lots of other syndicates.
Fingers crossed.
There are a couple of incredibly small things you can do. Some people pick birthdays as their lucky days,
yep,
right?
That's true, yep.
So when you get up to 35, that means 32, 3, 4 and 5 might be slightly less chosen because they're not going to be birthdays, but it's very small.
Right.
You want to pick a stretch of numbers that no one will pick. So people don't tend to pick a big clump like 21, 22, 23, 24 because they think, gee, there's no chance of that happening when it's just as likely as anything else.
Yes,
but be really careful because while they don't give away a lot of the information on these things, I'm pretty sure the most common selection tonight will be the numbers 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. That's people thinking, oh, I'll be really smart. No one will pick that. No one will think of doing that. No one will think of doing that. If the numbers 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 ever came out, people would just be stunned because they would be sharing it with thousands and thousands of others. A little bit of information is sometimes a dangerous thing.
What about the idea that that if you go to certain news agencies in different areas, that improves your chances? Is there any sort of reason to that?
Yeah, there's a mathematical word for that.
Oh, yeah.
Bullshit. No, not. There was a small case in America where they used to sell scratchy tickets where someone had worked out the formula of where they were being delivered to.
That's right.
So there's a story of a woman in the States who knew every 3 months it was going to be more likely in this region, and she bought thousands of tickets and won a bit more. That's almost investment. That's using a bit of knowledge.
Tactical.
But these are random numbers spat out by a machine at your news agents and then random balls dropping. It's not more likely to be in Maryland's this week because last week it was on the Central Coast or anything like that.
Right. Well, Spence, interesting, we've been seeing a couple of big numbers lately. I mean, 107 went off earlier in the year.
107 mil, that was a Sydney woman, wasn't
it? That was huge. And then somebody won 90-odd the other day, a couple of months ago. Why are we seeing an increase in such big numbers?
So last year in Powerball, they made a really small, it seemed like a very small change to the deal. I said you've got to pick 7 out of 35, then the Powerball, you used to have to pick, I think it was 6 out of 40.
It was.
Right? Yeah, now 6 out of 40, 7 out of 35, yeah, whatever. Well, what that did was really interesting. It increased the chances of you winning something from 1 in 78 to 1 in 44. Because there's now 7 numbers you can match with your Powerball, all the smaller divisions, there's more of different ways you could win.
Got ya.
But the big win blew out from 1 in about, I think it was 70-odd million, 1 in 76 million to 1 in 134.
Interesting.
So across the course of the year, if you play 10 times a week, across the course of the year, you'll win twice as many small dividends as you used to. That may well keep you in the game a bit more.
Yeah.
Your chances of winning the big thing have gone from absolutely unlikely to double absolutely unlikely.
Okay.
I actually find this really interesting.
It is fascinating because you see these jackpots and you do, Spence, you see the stories when they finally find the woman or someone's got the ticket in the back pocket and they haven't realised for a week or...
I'm not being grandpa no fun here. If you enjoy playing and if you like going around to the news, I used to like it more when at least it was on TV and Alex Wildman would be there and you have those guys from Treasury smiling going, hi, I'm on TV, and the balls would bounce around a bit.
Yep.
But if you like like the thrill of the chase. It's like any gambling. As long as the money you're giving to the news agents, you realise you're actually giving a fair bit of that to your local school or your local hospital through tax, then knock yourself out. But please don't sit there going, my kid needs some money to go to school or to go to the doctors.
I'll try
and win it on Powerball.
You know what? If you want to spend some money on your kid, go and buy Spencer's Top 100. It is a belt of trivia puzzles, all that numerical stuff that you need. AdamSpencer.com.au. Mate, always a pleasure to get you on, Spencer, and good luck tomorrow night. If we win, we'll give you maybe some...
Good on you, Spence.
I'll wait for the call, boys. Have a great day.
Thanks for coming on, mate.
Being a news reporter, I reckon, would be really tough because you're waiting. There's a lot of waiting that goes on, Sarah. You go out to the story, you're there at the car crash, you're ready to go. Okay, these are my main points.
Yep.
I'll practice it a few times. Okay, coming to you in five. It's always goes over five. You're waiting there, and then at the last minute,
you're on.
You know,
All right, Costello, you're on.
Your heart starts to pump a bit faster, and you're going, whoa. Ed, we need a Bartholomew. You're throwing to Seb Costello right now. Don't do it like that. So this happened to a lady yesterday over in the States. Unfortunately, someone had passed away. She was there to cover it, but this is how she finished. This is it.
We tried to reach out to the man who died in this pursuit. They were unavailable for comment. What? Micah, back to you.
What? They tried to reach out to the man who had died.
Can we hear that again?
We tried to reach out to the man who died in this pursuit. They were unavailable for comment.
Interesting.
Micah, back to you.
Surprises me. We sent you there to get the interview. Why did you not get a comment from the dead man?
Obviously guilty.
Fired.
If they're not replying.
Yep, I'd say so.
So I just want to go through some of the best that we've had.
I hope you've got my favourite in here.
There is some belters in here. So this one was Sun Yang. We know the Chinese swimmer. And you've got to be very careful with the word cheat and covering this story.
Names of swimming are lining up to support Aussie gold medalist Mac Horton with mounting backlash from China for calling one of its stars a drug cheat.
Well done. What's on your mind?
Calling one of its cheats.
Awesome.
This is another one. I mean, this is the worst. And anyone who's worked on television before knows when someone's talking in your ear and you think you're crossing to someone, but they're not actually there, it can get quite confusing.
Julie Doyle takes this look. We will go to Julie Doyle's story very soon. Of course, we are talking. We will go to Julie Doyle's story now. In fact, that is not correct.
No, we don't have it. We don't have it. Haven't got it.
Sorry, from our reporter, Sapa Lane.
Let her speak.
When you also talk about North Korea and maybe a world war breaking out, you've got to make sure you get your words right with that one.
Good morning. North Korea has threatened to launch a nuclear strike on Australia.
Guys, it was one word.
Guys, grab the kids. We're getting out of here.
Bunker now.
This is our far. I know this is your favourite of all time. Heavy blurtation. This is the best.
This is the best.
Well, a very, very heavy blurtation tonight. We had a very Darrison bite. Let's go to Terrace and look for the bit. Aww. Head the pit.
That was amazing.
Can you go again, Lena? I just want to hear
that. Well, a very, very heavy blurtation tonight. We had a very Darrison bite. Let's go to Terrace and look for the bit. Head the pit.
Amazing.
Get off the meds.
This is
unbelievable.
This is my favourite, though, because this is very Ron Burgundy. So the guy, obviously... Oh, this is so good. He starts the show and his co-host isn't there. But he goes from saying that into the story. This is how he started the news.
Good evening, I'm Ken Bastida. Dana is off tonight. He was murdered and then set on fire while celebrating his birthday.
Whoa, just take it. We'll get you to take a break.
Can we hear that again?
Good evening, I'm Ken Bastida. Dana is off tonight. He was murdered and then set on fire while celebrating his birthday.
That's a reason why he's off for the night.
Big announcement on the show right now. Sarah is engaged to Gary. Have we done that?
Yeah, we have done that.
Okay, sure. When was the engagement, Sarah? How long has it been?
When were the NEAs, the Nova Awards, internal awards? It was that night.
Oh,
when was that?
May? That was
June.
A big night, wasn't it?
June.
Remember when I organised that?
Yeah. Remember when I almost didn't come for lunch because I couldn't be bothered to see you for a meal?
And Gary's just sitting at the table in the restaurant, twiddling his thumbs, and you didn't give a stuff about me.
No.
I haven't forgotten, Sarah.
Oh,
how's the plan for the big day going? I mean, what are we looking, 2020? Mid-year 2020?
Yeah, I mean, look further.
Spring of 2020?
Maybe 2025.
Okay, 2025. Yeah. All right, we're really pushing things
here.
Well,
wind it up, Sarah. I'm getting old now, so weddings are over. I'm looking forward to another wedding. I haven't had one for a while.
Funnily enough, I haven't thought much of you in this process.
Selfish.
Yeah.
Always think of the team.
Well, you will be remembering me after it because I will be the standout.
We may not be friends by then.
Can we throw a hen's party for you? I mean, I know traditionally it's a girl's gig.
Yes, please.
But, you know, I don't see gender in 2019.
Do you remember when you brought that guy in who'd been on a party bus, let's just call it, that I'd been at somebody else's hens, and you brought him into the studio? Let's not let you guys organise.
All right, ladies, put down your Midoris and put your hands together for our dancer today, Tom Ivey.
Yes, I would happily dance for you, sir.
Yeah, you got that Nasty
Girl.
On.
Where's that Nasty Girl song?
Only the other girl in the room.
Tommy's dance to Tommy's Nasty
Girl. Okay, Tommy. Oh, he's in a fireman's outfit.
Oh, there he is. It's Tommy. Getting hot in here.
Why am I doing this again?
I mean, how sexy is it when a middle-aged man-looking woman takes off a cardigan?
No, he's actually taking his top off.
Yeah. Oh, if you've ever wanted to see...
have you been in a fire or something, Tom?
If you've ever wanted to see a librarian strip, now's your time.
You imply librarians aren't sexy. That's very rude.
Well, they're normally a bit off.
What is this song? Okay.
My bum!
Do not play that sting.
Slip a 50 in those sexy silk underpants. No. Are you still wearing silk boxes, mate?
Yeah.
Make that change.
Make that change now.
Are they Daffy Duck?
Tommy, I would have thought you would have had a shave before you arrived today.
My God. Oh, is that still wool?
I didn't think that's where this would be.
Neither did I, but I'm having a great time.
When I woke up this morning, I did not think I'd be dancing to Nasty Girl whilst being called a hairy librarian. I see. How good is
your
fun?
Your son must be so proud.
Yeah, I love laughing.
Hey, mums, come on, get some breakfast.
Oh.
It's not your normal workplace. No, seriously, it's the best.
The reason I wanted to
really
bring
a job, really.
What do you love most about
here we go. Back to the wedding music.
Straighten this out, Leno. What I wanted to talk about, Sarah, was a couple of the traditions and why you actually have these traditions when it comes to a wedding to help you organise.
I'm fairly uninitiated in the... After getting married, so please school me.
Well, there's some sinister things, which I didn't realise that back in traditional times is why they play out today. Things like the best man, and what is the role of the best man? In the modern day, the best man kind of keeps an eye on the groom and also gets up and says a couple of funny words at the wedding, right? Yeah. But back in the olden days, his role was to make sure that the bride didn't take off and to kidnap her and make sure that she didn't do a runner on the day.
Oh, got you.
Yeah, so if you saw her acting behaving badly and you were the best man in modern times, quick, get her in the van.
Or if anyone was looking at her the wrong way,
he had to step
in. Just a quick little get out of here, mate. You're gone.
Yeah. Why the bride always stands to the left of the groom? This is an interesting one.
Oh, yes.
This was to fend off other people that might be having a crack at the bride. So the situation was that if the man is standing there, the groom, he can fend off another attacker with his left arm and he can grab his sword with his right arm. Not like that.
Okay.
And he
the one he wears on a belt.
He was able to draw his sword and attack anyone that was trying to have a crack at his wife.
Wow.
His wife to be.
Fascinating. I mean, that would be a wedding I'd love to go to.
Mm-hmm.
Swords drawn. A medieval wedding.
Yep. People getting kidnapped. No one looks at the bride.
Yeah, this is... you know why the father gives the bride away, says?
Why?
Back in the traditional days, this was because it was a business arrangement.
That's right,
and
dowries and things.
Yeah, it was handing over. It was
four
a transaction.
Cows for your bride.
Yeah, I'll take a couple of camels. I mean, that's done somewhere. But so that was the traditional baton change where, like signing a deal, when you hand the bride over from the father to the groom, you're now the owner.
Which is disgusting to think about, and
I'm disgusted by those words.
Well, you're the one reading this out, mate.
Yeah.
So
you've found inspiration in this list, but go ahead.
Bridesmaids, what do? To confuse any of her exes.
Oh.
That's why you wear a similar-ish dress.
Now, can you read the veil one out? This is really interesting with the veil.
The veil, yeah.
Because they were arranged marriages back in the day. And
that
the
was
reason
the thing.
Why that you wore a veil.
Oh, so they couldn't run away if they saw you and you were ugly before you got there.
That's what it was said.
I wasn't lying.
So if your parents have sat down with another family and done a bad deal and all of a sudden when you'd said to Dad, hey, look after me, and he sold you a three.
Yeah.
You're turning up, she's lifting up the sheet and you're going, Arthur.
Have you ever thought that maybe she's looking through the veil at you and thinking, oh, God, there's a minus four?
Imagine that moment and that reveal.
I know.
The veil comes up and he sees all of God's mistakes and he thinks, oh, Dad, are you blind?
Well, it's the modern day adaptation of that is Married at First Sight.
I have a dream.
Nike, Google,
Quotey, McQuote Face.
Quoting McQuote Face, guys. You know how it works. Three great quotes. We've got a bit of an issue in the studio. Rosie, we're streaming live on Instagram and Facebook. It's just that MDG straddles up alongside me. I know this is tactical to try and see the sheet, but at the same time, you are blocking the view from everybody that wants to see my great hairline.
What?
I'm not entirely certain.
You are completely... I mean, can you see me, Rosie? Am I on the
Rosie,
screen?
Rosie, can you...
Barely, yeah.
Get the camera down low and see if you can go up. How have you... I mean, you've started the men's health program. How much weight have you lost so far?
Well, I mean, it started Monday. I've broken my back and both my shoulders. Put on 20 kilos.
Oh, no.
No, everything's going to plan, mate.
That's all right.
Everything's fine.
Stay strong, mate.
Another 80 days to go. Loving it. Okay, here we go. First quote, guys, is...
Regrets.
I've had a few. Not at all, Sarah, because I'm going to go into this summer looking so sharp.
Yeah, you will. Spray tan it in.
Thank you. Here's a song for you guys. Shooting for the stars when I couldn't make a killing. Didn't have a dime, but I always had a vision. Have I gone easy there? Did you know what that was?
I reckon I've given you keywords in that.
It's a song, Thomas. Just hold, says, for the moment while we see.
I haven't got the answer.
Oh, don't you?
No, I'm just watching the song.
Great mind of Tom Ivy tick over here.
Well, actually, it's because I'm watching our Instagram live. So much feedback on that one.
What are you doing, Matt DeGroote? Because you're just going through Instagram.
Trying to get us up on Facebook, which I've been told we're on, but I haven't been able to pull up that particular stream.
I'll give you the lyrics again.
Okay.
There's some key words that probably stand out in
now
this song.
I've got it.
Shooting for the stars when I couldn't make a killing. Didn't have a dime, but I always had a vision.
It's a boom crash rock. Boom crash opera's onion skin.
That is a great song.
Is it the Phantom of the Opera?
No, it's not, mate. Sez, do you want to say your name?
Is it High Hopes Panic at the Disco?
You bet it is.
Come on, can we get some classic songs, please?
Hang on, honestly.
Don't hate the game because you're hating yourself for not winning.
Come on. Honestly.
Why don't I slip you an answer?
We've gone to that.
The Facebook feed is live now, so I can contribute with their answers as my own.
And the other one is, where are you tuning in from? Anyone from London playing along today?
Well, a big shout out to MMMAO, who is in Japan. We've also got someone listening with no shirt on in Perth.
Hey, that's good. You don't need a shirt for this game.
No, why?
And someone else, Dylan Birkin, 95, says, Matt DeGroote looks like a gumboot.
It's a different take. Honestly, would rather a thumb, which is shocking.
Which is really weird. Remember your gummies on a day like today. Here we go, guys. This is a person, okay? This is a quote from a person. It's not Steve Jobs. It is not Steve Jobs.
Is it Bill Clinton?
No.
Donald Trump.
Can I get it out?
George W. Bush.
Nelson Mandela.
Kanye West.
You're all idiots. A BLT with chips, milk, an applesauce, and a blonde.
That is Trumpy. It's a bit Trumpy.
It's not Cardinal Pell, is it?
That's a bit Pell, isn't it?
Yeah, it's topical.
Not really quoting him.
Jesus.
Oh, you're doing impersonations now. Who is that?
A BLT with chips, milk, applesauce, and a blonde.
Sounds disgusting, to be honest.
You reckon?
It's obviously American.
Yes.
It was his favourite dinner order.
There is a suggestion from Chase on Facebook that it is simply you quoting you what you would like for right now.
I would have been a brunette.
Is it the final meal of someone on death row?
No, it's not.
No.
This is a famous person. You all know who this is.
Is it like a famous womanizer like Jack Nicholson?
I know.
No?
It's one of Whipper's favourites. He sings him all the time.
He's not a singer.
He's not. I was going to say Elvis.
No.
It does sound
that was
Elvis.
A ham sandwich,
he
wasn't
he died on the toilet eating a sandwich, so I can see the link you've made. But no, it is not Elvis Presley. This guy was famous in a business sense, but more famous for his lifestyle and his women.
Ooh, you could take a guess. Did Leonardo DiCaprio play him in a film?
Ooh.
I don't believe
Wolf of
so.
Wall Street is what she's referring to.
No.
I was going to go a different direction. Richard Branson?
No, but you're teeing off in the right spot.
Does he
though.
Have his own mansion?
Yes.
Elon Musk.
Yeah. No. He's no longer with us.
Oh. Is it Hugh Hefner?
Thomas Bryan Ivey, you've got it. Loves a BLT with chips, milk, applesauce, and a blonde, if I could, sir, if you're taking the audio.
Big shout out to Tyler Wilso on Instagram. MDG, the thumb boot, he says.
Oh, the thumb boot.
Okay. You can do better.
All right.
Spillo listening in Canada. Edmonton
all right.
in Canada.
We've got to get to traffic.
Here we go, guys. Last one. Got a movie here for you. You live in Beverly Hills. Everyone in the world knows that you're my mother, except she has trouble remembering my name.
Rob Kardashian?
You live in Beverly Hills. Everyone in the world knows who you are. My mother still has trouble remembering my name.
It's a movie.
That's a great line for the movie.
It's not Godzilla, is it?
Gladiator.
Shawshank Redemption?
You live in Beverly Hills.
Sliding Doors.
Beverly Hills Cop.
Everyone in the world knows who you are. My mother.
Lethal Weapon.
I'll do it with an accent. Do it with the accent to give
Ventura.
You a clue. You live in Beverly Hills. Everyone in the world knows who you are. My mother has trouble remembering my name.
Friday with Ice Cube.
I'll give you another clue.
Dude, where's my cup?
You're an idiot.
Notting Hill.
Dumb and Dumber?
That was from Cam on Facebook. To be fair, I stole that.
Cam's got it.
It's Notting Hill. It's Notting Hill.
Oh, yes.
Everyone in the world knows who you are. My mother has trouble remembering my name.
Great scene. Wow. Well done, Adam. Well done to Cam for taking out the third. Strong round, guys. Strong. Put your hands together for Whipper.
All right, we did a call out before, and I'd love to hear from you, 13 24 10. When have you stuffed up in front of a celebrity? So WHIP 13 24 10 is our number. Give us a call if you can. This is a belter. I mean, this was getting around on social media during the week, went viral. So massive fan, Sarah, had the book The Complete Prose of Woody Allen. Now, Woody Allen's had a pretty roller coaster lifestyle.
Yep. Yeah, a few accusations.
Yeah, up and down. There's a fair bit going on. So this fan said, finally, got him. I'm going to go up to Woody and I'm going to get an autograph. Woody seemed a little bit, you know.
Thrown by it.
Thrown, bit nervous. Said, okay, give me the book. Got the pen and wrote a message. Can you read out the message to Josh, the fan, trying to get Woody Allen to sign his book?
To Josh, I think you've mistaken me for someone else, Woody Harrelson. That's
gear.
Awesome.
Really good gear. Isn't that great? My mum made an absolute idiot of herself. Mum and Dad were somewhere, I don't know where, and Mum had wandered off. Dad looked over. She's in a conversation with a tall, dark, handsome man, and Dad thought, what is going on here? Anyway, talking for 5 minutes or so. God knows what they were talking about. Dad walked over, and she said, oh, Mark, this is my husband. Do you mind if we get a photo, Mark? And Dad said, sorry, have we met Mark? And Mum goes, it's Mark Webber. Don't you know this wasn't Mark Webber?
Oh.
Not for one second, but whoever it was polite enough just to continue.
Yeah, along with that.
Having a good time. Yeah, it's a nice day.
One in Silverstone, one in Germany.
Cool.
Julie in Rouse Hill, what happened when you met a celeb, Jules?
Oh, mate, how are you guys?
Yeah, good, Jules. Hanging in there, Jules.
We went to the Dally M Awards.
Great, yeah. Oh, yep, Dally M.
In 94, they were open, like, to the public and that. And then I see Dawn Fraser, and she was one of my idols at the time, and I was with a friend of mine. Mm. He had absolutely no clue who she was. And I said, no, I don't want to talk, I don't want to go up to her. So he goes, I'll do it. He comes up from behind, he goes, oh, excuse me, sir. My mate wants to talk to you, and I was so embarrassed. She turns around and he goes, oh, shit, I thought you were a bloke.
Dawn Fraser.
No, it was Dawn Fraser.
You can't call Dawn Fraser, sir.
A bloke. I mean, a true Australian idol. You don't refer to
it. It's a fair bit in that call you don't say.
Yeah, there's quite a bit. You wonder if you put that one to air almost, don't you?
Ed from Liverpool. Who did you meet and what happened, Ed?
Hey, guys. I met Chris Brown, the singer, and I called him Neo.
So another one that carries a couple of sensitivities.
Yeah, I wouldn't aggravate Chris Brown either.
Couldn't happen to a better celebrity, though, I suppose.
Isn't that awesome?
He would have hated that.
Love that.
Christina from Bosley Park. Who did you meet and what happened, Chris?
Hey, guys.
Hey, hanging in there. I'm not really happy. My shoulders are hurting and my lower back's killing me. Anyway, Christina, what's going on? Okay. I hate myself. What happened, Christina?
I was working in a restaurant in Sydney, 5-star hotel restaurant, and I went to go. So after you have your main course, you have to go and crumb a table. So I came with my little spatula to crumb a table, and I was eye level with Will Ferrell and John C. Reilly.
Wow.
Okay.
Two massive names, yes?
Yes. I was so starstruck because they were promoting, I'm pretty sure it was Step Brothers at the time.
Yep.
Anyway, I turn around, so I'm eye level with Will Ferrell, and he says to me, "Where are all these goats going to?" And I said, "Manly, really like a goat, like Manly." And he said,
"Oh no."
He turned around and said to me, "Well, I'm Manly." And I went, "Ha!" and walked off.
Oh, man, what a story.
That would have been
so embarrassing.
But see, he's one of the nicest celebrities we've ever met.
Yeah, he's a true gem. That's a great story.
Just to move on. Kirsty from Arena's given us a call. You met a major international celeb, Kirst.
Did. I met the President of the United States.
Oh, which one? Which one?
Donald Trump.
Oh, okay, the current. Yeah. What happened? Where were you?
So, prior to him being president, back when in his apprentice day,
yep.
He was doing a book signing in New York, and my husband and I were over there. I lined up, and I said, "Oh, can you sign my book?" He said, "Yeah, no worries. What's your name?" I said, "It's Kirsty," and then he started to write Christy.
Christy, yeah. I still confuse it. I don't even know who I'm talking to.
Yeah, but you're not running a country.
Wow, so. Good point. Good point. Nicolene, you had a story. What happened to you?
Yeah, I have a quick one. So I went to the Big Little Lies premiere for season two earlier
Reese
in the
with
year.
A spoon, or was Nicole Kidman there?
I didn't think there was anyone major there, but when I walked in, I took my sister. She was very excited. We went to go take a photo behind in front of a media wall.
Gotcha.
And I just grabbed the nearest person to me to give my phone and take a photo of us. Okay. And I said, "Hi, can you just take a photo of us?" And she kind of turned around, this girl, and was really weird. And her friend started laughing. And the publicist next to her was like, "Okay."
It's Meryl Streep.
It ended up being... Nicole Kidman's niece... Lucia Hawley, who was the special guest.
I'd have gone with Fitzy's.
Oh, you're kidding me. We might get Christina back on.
Luckily, you didn't get on the show.
Luckily, it's pre-recorded and we can cut that bit out.
Leno,
did you have a
special guest?
Yeah, no, I got you. I got it. Leno, did you have a story?
No, let's
I was just trying to get out on a high.
Well, he did have one, but he just realised he would have been spanked if he went with it.
On Nova.
Hey, Snitchy.
Yeah, Leno?
Now that it's just you, me and the podcasters, should I tell the story?
No, I wouldn't bother.
Oh.
No, it actually was really shit.
Cool.